B-Pod Studios.
Jaylen Brown's hands, three is in the air. He got it. He got it. It happened.
This is Jaylen Brown. You're listening to the home of the Celtics, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's Felger and Maz. No Felger, no Maz, no Murray today. What would you expect this time of year? So the McCarthy takeover continues on Felger and Maz. Sorry about that. We got Phil Perry alongside, though. That's welcome news. It's much better than hearing that, you know, Matt McCarthy is on the air. Phil, you know, this is Felger and Maz. I would engage with a pleasantry with you, but I believe that would be against the rules.
Don't do it.
I'm not going to do it.
Don't do it.
I'm not going to talk about how I haven't seen you since that flight back from Philadelphia after the Patriots game a few years ago, where I was coming off a night of drinking with Murray. So no, I'm not going to do it. I refuse to engage in a pleasantry. I'm just going to look at you and say, Peachy, living the dream, thank you, and we're going to move on.
Doing business is being done.
That's McCarthy. Right.
Although I would love to talk about that time I saw you in Philadelphia, because you were a disaster, my friend.
Maybe we'll get to that in the final word today. You know why? Because we have Greg Bedard, the big boy here. I refuse to engage in a pleasantry with you as well, Greg. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Delightful.
Hey,
thank you. Why don't you guys hit me?
Hi,
with
Phil.
Why don't you guys hit me with your opening thoughts from the Patriots game on Tuesday or on Sunday? You got a couple days to sit back, relax, take this one in a little bit. Phil, let's start with you. Where do you start after that Patriots game?
Well, now that we're a couple days removed from it, I would love to know where this football team is at psychologically right now, because I think there is a ton of pressure on this group. And when I say pressure, I mean, they need to play not a perfect game, but they need to play really cleanly against really good teams to win football games. And they have been sloppy. They have been the opposite of clean the last 2 weeks against good football teams. And we saw how it played out. They got whacked both weeks. Even though the score was a little bit closer this past Sunday, I didn't think that was indicative of how the game really went. Same with the Colts. You know, I thought the Colts game, they got beat up and they came out slow in both of those. And so I just wonder where they're at in terms of their headspace, McCarthy, because coming out of Buffalo and that win in Buffalo, they became the hunted. And I would say they couldn't have handled it any worse now in the two games following that. So how do they respond now? They've got a get-right game, the definition of a get-right game coming up in Jacksonville, and then what should be a tough one in Miami to end the season, and I'm not really sure how this team is going to respond. Some of their commentary, which I know we'll get to later, has interested me as well. But psychologically, it's hard for me to pin down where this team is at right now.
All right, so Phil's opening thoughts there. You want to take on that 617-779-0985. Phone lines open right now. Greg Bedard, as always, brought to you by The Granite Group. They are an award-winning distributor of Mitsubishi's electric heating and air conditioning systems with locations across Massachusetts and New England. Learn more at customizedcomfort.com. Where do you go, Greg, after that game on Sunday?
Well, I don't disagree with Phil. I mean, you sort of look at, and the timing is the bye week. You look at the bye week and what has happened to this team. They just haven't looked like the same team since the bye week. I mean, to come out in two games where they know there's a lot on the line, they're good teams that they're going against, big sort of national games, and to fall behind by a collective score of 44-7, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I don't think they've come out ready to play, and I don't put that on the coaches. This is professional football. I just don't think that they've come out ready to play for whatever reason. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know what the leadership situation is in there. Who's talking, who's not, how are guys feeling? I don't know. But to trail 44-7 collectively, basically, you know, in four plus quarters, in two humongous games, two of the biggest games of the season, it's just not acceptable, and it doesn't really compute. I don't understand what's going on with this team. I mean, I think even in this game, you come out, you know, the first five plays, David Andrews gets shoved back on the first play. They get stuffed. He has some issues on third down. They give up a sack. And then on one of the first plays that the Bills have, a little check down to Singletary, and he runs over Duggar and Hightower. I mean, that's just another team coming into your building and saying, we're going to be tougher than you. We're going to be more physical than you. And I'm not used to seeing this out of Patriots teams. And I don't think that they were ready for the punches early in this game. And I just don't get how that happens. Then again, you know, maybe we're looking at a new Patriots team sort of being put to the test for the first time, and a lot of these guys aren't ready for that situation. I mean, that being said, I'm not panicking about where they are. Yes, they have a get-right game. The Miami game is going to be tough. They can assert themselves well. You know, I think that in many ways it was good that they got the Colts and Bills games out of the way. I think that the Bills game that we saw on Sunday might have happened in Buffalo if the weather was better. And perhaps the Patriots would have been better on Sunday. I like the Patriots in rematches with these teams because of what's happened. But still, there's no excuse, especially what went on defense on Sunday. There's no excuse. They played well enough on offense to win that game. The defense was just a complete no-show.
Phil, you have a thought you want to follow up there? Son? Not really? Or
the best way for me to describe what I think they're going through right now is an identity crisis. I think there's an identity crisis happening. And it's not a panic moment. I'd agree with Greg there. I think they are still good enough to beat good teams. But the reason I would put it in those terms, identity crisis, is because when they beat Buffalo in Buffalo and the wind is gusting 50 miles an hour and they ran at will and they couldn't be stopped, that was one of the happiest mid-COVID locker rooms that I've ever heard. Right? We're not in the locker room the way we used to be. So we don't know all the details the way we used to. But that was about as loud a locker room as we have heard, period. They were riding really high. I think there are guys, because they are new to this team, and because they had overcome the adversity they saw early this season, that they looked at this and said, so this is what it's like to play for the Patriots. We get things figured out. We do what we want to division rivals. We come in here, we beat people up, and we win. And look at us now. We're the number one seed in the AFC. And now for two straight weeks, they've come out flat. I've talked to people in the building the last couple of days, absolutely baffled by the start against Buffalo the other day and alarmed by the lack of not just execution, but Greg pointed it out, getting run over on the second pass play of the game by Devin Singletary, probably the smallest guy in the field. Absolutely baffled. And so I think this team now has gone from where the cats meow to what are we? Who are we? How do we win important games? And it's happened in the matter of 2 weeks.
So is this an example of a team that got exposed because they had, let's be honest, a pretty weak run of competition leading up to the Indianapolis game a few weeks ago? And even the good teams they played in that stretch, you can say, well, there's a reason they were able to win that game. Tennessee was beat up to all hell when they came in here. Buffalo, you played that game in a tornado, which I think we can all agree probably benefited the Patriots more than the Bills, because the Patriots want to run the ball, the Patriots want to control the clock, all of that. So is this an example of a team that, frankly, just wasn't that good and is now getting exposed against actual playoff teams? Or are the concerns running a little bit deeper? Phil, it seems like you think the concerns run a little bit deeper. Greg, how do you feel about that?
I don't think they've been exposed, McCarthy. I think that, look, you know, even after the Tennessee game, and I took a lot of hit after the Tennessee game, because they ended up winning by 23 points, and I wrote a column, and I said, sorry, I still have more questions than answers about this team after this game. And basically, the Bills, I thought the Bills had a masterful game plan on both sides. They were completely ready for this game. Again, it was probably the game plan that we were going to see. They probably worked on it all offseason. Probably going to see it in Buffalo, but the weather changed hands. I think that I always worried what would happen if the Patriots ran into a team with a decent quarterback, somewhat of a running game to stay balanced and could spread the Patriots out, because we talked about the Patriots played zone coverage a lot of this season. You know, what needs to happen if you're going to play zone coverage? You got to get a lot of pressure. And Matthew Judon and Christian Barmore were doing that. You spread them out, it's a little bit easier to see their designer stuff coming. And I thought the Bills completely, you know, exposed the Patriots there. I do think there's some things that they can do to adjust. But I do think at the end of the day, like Phil talked about, I think that the Patriots have a very, very narrow path to victory with this team. We got to remember, they're in the middle of a rebuild with a rookie quarterback. We have guys that haven't even played a full season with this team, and I think they're limited, especially a slot receiver in a game like Sunday, where I think if Jacoby Myers is a little bit better, there's a little bit more talent there. Maybe they move the chains a little bit more. And I think defensively, they're a little bit short in the back end. And also, I think they're slow up front. When you have a team that can spread you out and all that, you know, the speed becomes an issue. And we've talked about it that at different times this year. And so, look, I don't think they've been exposed. I think they could play much better football than they did on Sunday. But if they're going to win going forward, they got to be, they have to do everything right. Their execution has to go, going back to being almost perfect from everyone involved. And it has been far from that the last two games.
I would say just to follow up on that, Matt, in terms of playing cleanly and playing almost perfectly, I think what's frustrating about this Bills game was that they weren't even close. Right?
No. They should have lost this game by 3 scores.
You could excuse it away if it's Miles Bryant who's getting beaten man-to-man coverage, or if it's Jalen Mills who has 2 potential interceptions go off his hands, or you don't have personal foul penalties on top of personal foul penalties, and you don't come out as flat as you came out. But when you stack all of those things one on top of the next, then you really have no chance. This game might have been close, even if J.C. Jackson drops 2 picks. Because of the other errors, it was not. And so that's what's frustrating about this one. You really don't even know how close you are to the Bills because you screwed up so thoroughly. And that's it. It's an indictment on the team for them to come out as flat as they did and to get beat up as they did by a team that we all have criticized. Listen, I'll speak for myself. Yep. That I have criticized.
I've criticized them too.
As soft.
Mm-hmm. Yep, me too.
S-O-F-T, soft. Over the course of this season, McCarthy, and they got smacked in the face.
No, the Bills punched you in the mouth on Sunday. And, you know, credit to the Bills because I didn't think they had that in them. Credit to Josh Allen. I didn't think he had that in him. We'll get into that a little bit later on. But a point that Greg just made, I think, is so spot on. And Paul Perillo and I were talking about this yesterday. The Patriots can still win games. Like, honestly, if you match up against the Bills again in the playoffs, particularly if it's a weather game, you could win that game. I think you could beat the Colts if you had a rematch with them. But their ability to win these games and the style in which they can win these games is really pretty narrow. They need to get out to a lead. They need to be able to run the ball. They need to be able to control the clock. They can't rely on the passing game to win these games. If they can pass it just effectively enough to balance it out with the run, like, you can win those games. But, like, you can't put this on Mac Jones's shoulders and expect him to go out there, throw the ball 35, 40 times and win that game. And I get that the league is down this year. I get the AFC is down. But even in 2021, if you can't put the ball in your quarterback's hands and say, go throw the ball 40 times, we have to win that way, if you can't do that, your chances of winning are decreased, I think, dramatically in this league.
You need your defense to be a historic defense, right, Greg?
And they're not historic.
Yep. Talking to people around the league as they're going through their winning streak, you know, I'm asking, can they really keep this up? Is this who they really are? And you basically get, you know, a shrug of the shoulders back and something along the lines of, well, if their defense continues to play at this rate, then yeah. But that's what it comes down to, Greg. And it was an unsustainable level that the defense was at for 7 weeks there.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm sure we're going to get into it. I mean, I was very frustrated watching the defensive film and sort of the lack of things that they did. I just, in general, I wanted them to be more physical. Somebody hit somebody. Somebody reroute somebody. Somebody do something. And it just never happened in the game. They played read and react on their heels the whole game, and the Bills were ready for it. Brian Daboll had a great game plan, targeting exactly what the Patriots do, and the Patriots had no counterpunch.
Let's get to that coming up next. What should the Patriots have done differently in this game? Did they try to do anything differently? 617-779-0985. It's Felger and Maz, a Big Boy Tuesday. The big boys here, Felger and Maz or not, Matt McCarthy and Phil Perry in for the guys.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The best analysis.
Forget about what's being said. Everyone's ripping someone for something somewhere.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Was Isaiah McKenzie just a tough cover today for what they were doing?
Yeah, he made a couple great catches and hit him on a couple over routes. And yeah, I mean, they had a lot of production in the passing game.
Bill Belichick on Sunday on the Isaiah McKenzie Miles Bryant matchup, which did not go well for the Patriots. You know, I would offer a take, but I am going full-blown facilitation today because I've got Greg Bedard and Phil Perry alongside. It's Matt McCarthy. It is Felger and Maz, 617-779-0985. They say this chair turns you into an a-hole. I was already an a-hole, so it's just going to turn me into a facilitator. So, Greg, I will facilitate to you. Did the Patriots screw up on Sunday by not changing things up defensively, by not giving Josh Allen different looks, by not switching up that matchup? Did they fall asleep at the wheel?
Well, I think they changed things up. They threw some things. They basically threw the kitchen sink. I didn't think any of it was effective or really, you know, what should have been the plan or the execution. I mean, there's no way that the Patriots came into this game and said, you know what, we're going to be really undisciplined with our rush and we're just going to let Josh Allen, like, run around, hold the ball for over 3 seconds anytime he wants and basically be unrushed. I mean, I know some people are like, well, you know, there was decent pressure in the game. There wasn't real pressure in this game. Anytime Josh Allen was sort of flooding, he was doing it to make a play. He was doing it to buy time because I think the Bills went into this game with the plan correctly. Like, look, the longer we hold the ball, the Patriots can't cover that long. They're not that good in the back. It's been smoke and mirrors for them on defense because they've gone against lesser quarterbacks who are just panicking and getting rid of the ball. If we spread them out and let Josh cook and let him do whatever he wants, they're not going to be able to cover. And I thought that happened a lot. I would have, the rush needed to be a lot more disciplined, and I thought that they needed to be a lot more physical. I don't mind the Miles Bryant matchup. I mean, there's only so many different directions you can go. I just would have liked to have seen some more physical techniques employed. Like, you know, there was a, you know, the Dawson Knox play down inside the five where he almost went into the end zone. He's in the left slot. Matthew Judon tells Adrian Phillips to back up, and then Judon doesn't do anything. What happened to the days of jacking up the tight end before he comes off? It was like watching the Jets playing coverage against Rob Gronkowski, where just free releases all over the place. And then there were two plays on the final drive where all the Patriots had to do was get a stop. There were two Isaiah McKenzie routes where Kyle Duggar is in coverage. He's in coverage on Dawson Knox on the same side of the field. Knox stays in at least initially to block. McKenzie runs right by Duggar, almost into him. All Duggar has to do is jack him up a little bit within the 5 yard box. All of a sudden that makes Josh Allen panic and Miles Bryant can catch up, or Josh Allen has to go someplace else. Instead, everyone's just running freely all over the place. There's no intimidation or anything like that. And you get, you know, one of those plays. I asked, Steve Belichick about that today, about does Duggar have the freedom to, you know, hit him there? And he basically said, look, we're not going to second guess when the bullets are flying, but, you know, it would be appreciated by his teammates if, you know, he did something along those lines. And so I just wanted to see the Patriots. Their pass rush was crap, how they did it. They never got on point in just keeping Josh Allen in a box and squeezing him. And their coverage was just not physical enough. They let the Bills run all over the place unimpeded, whereas the Patriots could barely get down the field and get open for Mac Jones in this game.
I thought it was whack-a-mole defensively for them. They started out, and the plan was pretty clear. I mean, to anybody watching, okay, let's rush four, let's drop into zone, let's force Josh Allen to be patient. Because over the course of his young career, he's had a hard time doing that. Let's force him to be the smart quarterback, to take what's there, to not rely on the huge arm and the ridiculous athleticism. Let's make him play quarterback. Let's make him try to play like Tom Brady. And the first completion of the game, he checks it down into the flat. That's a win. That's what you've been preparing all week for if you're the Patriots defense. And what happens? Devin Singletary runs over Kyle Duggar and Dante Hightower 12 yards. They stick with the zone. Check down for 11 yards. Check down for 13 yards. Wide open over the middle of the field to Stephon Diggs for 10 yards. Okay, let's try a little bit of man. And then, Greg, I'm sure you noticed this too, but to me it felt like when they initially adjusted, it was the Bills' second drive, I think, and they said, whether this was in the plan or not, they said, I think we're going to try to at least mix up our pressures a little bit. We'll still just send four, but this time we'll bring a linebacker from the second level, or we'll bring two linebackers from the second level, and we'll drop our two outside linebackers out into coverage, and we'll try to maybe confuse this offensive line. It's a totally makeshift offensive line that's been dealing with injuries and COVID. They're a disaster. We'll be able to confuse them, even if we can't confuse Josh Allen. Well, what happens there? When they start bringing pressure and they start playing a little bit more man, Josh Allen gashes them for a 25-yard run. And I think they got a little bit spooked by that, because that's the issue. You play a mobile quarterback, everybody's backs and man-to-man are turned to the quarterback. You're opening yourself up to those kinds of explosive gains. I think that's the last thing they wanted to do. And so after that second drive, it really wasn't until the fourth quarter again that I could see, Greg, where they got back into a little bit more, okay, we have to try to dial up some pressure. We have to play a little bit more man. We'll start trying to butch guys at the line of scrimmage, whether it's Dawson Knox or anybody else. Let's get a little bit more physical. Let's try to change it up. I think they tried to change initially, and it went so poorly for them that they just said, screw it. Let's go back to what we tried before. Make him make these long drives down the field. It's worked against the Bills at times this year. It's worked against Patrick Mahomes. It works against some of these young quarterbacks. Make them be patient. But it didn't on Sunday. Clearly, Josh Allen was ready to be patient, and he killed him.
617.
Yeah,
go ahead, Greg.
I was just going to say, I mean, I just thought that Daboll and Allen knew exactly what to expect from the Patriots. They had counters for everything. He didn't feel rushed. I mean, there was a third and two play where they did a little bit of an out to Singletary, I think it was. Oh, no, it was McKenzie. And this is how much the Bills know. Like, you know, the dummy, snap count, silent snap count. That was a change up by the Bills. A curveball that they had ready where Barmore jumped. They changed the way they did their silent count, got the rookie. Then they had this, third or fourth and two play. I forget. It was basically there were trips left and McKenzie just did a quick out. Miles Bryant couldn't cover him. Easy conversion. What happened was JC Jackson signals to Miles Bryant, we're going to be in lock coverage, which means we're going to stay on the guy in front of us. Josh Allen literally was watching JC Jackson, saw him signal lock coverage, signaled to his receivers, and they ran two vertical routes to run a screen for McKenzie. I mean, they knew exactly what the Patriots were going to do because of Daboll's background. I mean, the skinny post touchdown, they killed the Patriots on that and a touchdown up in Buffalo. There should have been another touchdown up there. The Patriots got caught in sort of a designer. Oh, we're going to show we're coming all out blitz. Then we're going to back out of it, but we can't really cover it. I mean, they were just, the Bills were a step ahead offensively when they didn't have something. Like Phil said, they just checked it down and Hightower and Bentley cannot match up. They're all, you know, they're 8, 9, 10 yard drops. It was easy. It was easy for Josh Allen. I mean, I think it was way too easy for him in this game. It was something that I've never seen before or rarely seen out of this Patriots team. And I think, you know, it was a little spooky in that regard, where I've seen bigger games where the Patriots come out, play more confidently, play more physically. In this game, they were just on their heels from the get-go.
I was shocked, McCarthy, we didn't see more adjusting when the Bills did go to those trips or those bunch formations that Greg mentions.
Yeah.
Because they locked it felt like, throughout the game, Greg. When mm-hmm. they could many a time give a little hand signal, say we're going to go yep. combo this. You know, the play you mentioned about Kyle Duggar hitting McKenzie on the crosser there. If they decide to combo that, Duggar can just run mm-hmm. with McKenzie across the field. And you don't have yep. Miles Bryant chasing from behind. But because they have guys that love to play man and that love to lock down their guys, and these guys are dogs and they have a certain mentality. And I respect that. It's worked for this defense for a long time. But I don't know if you have the personnel to really execute that and to carry that out. And so to not do the smarter thing, maybe the less aggressive thing, but the smarter thing to combo some of those plays, that really hurt them.
So that's my question. Is this more of a coaching preparation type of thing, or is this more of a reflection on the talent that the Patriots have on the defensive side of the ball?
I think it's a reflection of the talent. I mean, as soon as Jonathan Jones got hurt and Stephon Gilmore got traded, the depth in the secondary has been an issue all year. And that's been the one thing, even while they were going through this winning streak, Greg. You know, we were getting constantly asked on our shows, on NBC Sports Boston, you know, what's the one thing that could take this team down? And at the top of the list for me was depth in the secondary, because even though he's mm-hmm. had an okay year, Jalen Mills has not killed this team. Mm-hmm. But to me, he's not a full-time number two corner. That's not why they signed him. That's not the role that really suits his skill set. And so I've looked at the depth they've had back there and said, they might be playing with fire there. I don't know about you, Greg, but that feels like that's been waiting to pop for a while now.
Yeah, that was the big thing with the Gilmore trade, and who knows how it could have worked out. I think he's hurt again in Carolina. We don't know whether he would have gotten hurt here. Maybe the Patriots take care of him a little bit more. Who knows? But that was the risk they ran when they traded Stephon Gilmore. It's like, I hope nobody gets hurt because they're already thin enough as it is, and then Jonathan Jones goes down. But, you know, if you're going to be light in the back end, you better be good up front, and they just haven't been. Matthew Judon, we haven't touched on him before. You know, he's now on the COVID list. Maybe that explains some of it. But for the last four games, he has not been the same guy that he was early in the season. They need this defense was great when they had a dominating pass rusher up front. And that combination between Judon and Barmore inside was really the formula for them to be successful. And it is completely dried up in these last four games, especially in the last two games. To me, it looks like Judon's dealing with something. I'm sure we'll hear after the season he needed sports hernia surgery or groin or something like that, or maybe he just wasn't feeling well. But if they're not going to cover better in the back end, and I think you're always limited, and we've gone through this in previous years with the Patriots, you're always limited in the amount of coverages you can play by the talent that you have. And that goes for everybody. Like if you have Dante Hightower and Juwan Bentley as your linebackers inside on passing downs, those guys can't really play man to man. So you can't play man to man, on the rest of the field. And so they're a little bit limited there. I think they would love to play more man to man. I don't think that they can. And if they're going to have to get a lot more physical, on the outside, especially in rematches with some of these teams. And that's how you screw up rhythm and develop pressure and put doubt in the quarterback's hands. That was my biggest frustration in this game. At some point, you got to butch people up, get physical. And that way, Josh Allen all of a sudden is like, oh crap, who do I have? Now I panic. And it just never happened in this game.
It's a big boy Tuesday. Felger and Maz, Matt McCarthy, Phil Perry in for the guys. Quick update, then right back with you. We got three up, three down coming your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Do you believe in moral victories? A good loss? We'll get them next time.
No silver linings here on Felger and Maz.
Then you are in the wrong place.
You have to accept that, so we...
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And now, it's time for three.
Jones with time. Throwing the deep ball down the left side.
What a throw!
Three down.
This is one of the worst throws he's had.
With Greg Bedard from BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
Bucks win the Super Bowl. And then a cannon. Fire him. Keep on firing him.
Three down.
He sucks.
He blows.
On Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Phil Perry alongside today, Matt McCarthy, Felger and Maz. Now time for three up, three down with Greg Bedard, presented by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Enjoy the game with triple distilled, triple cast matured, and triple blended Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Game time, Tully time. Please drink responsibly. You know how this goes. We give our three ups in order. Then we give our three downs. We have to make it quick. Can you find three ups in this game, Greg?
Yes, I can. Number one for me was Shaq Mason. I thought he played really well in the middle. I only had him allowing one hurry in this game. He had a couple of really nice pass blocks, including once when he had to basically spin and turn around and pick up the guy. He's been really good this season. Not many people have talked about him, but he's been great.
All right, number two. Actually, you know, Phil, why don't we go to you? You're
my
number one.
My goodness. I thought I was going to come in here and Bedard on three up, three down. You know who my number one is? It's Shaq Mason. Mind-blowing that we're on the same page there. I know Bedard likes his big boys, but I figured he might go Damian Harris. He might go somewhere else with this. So I'll go Shaq. I'll Bedard. And I couldn't do it, but I'm with him. Shaq Mason. I gave him extra credit on that third touchdown run from Damian Harris. Not only did he help open the hole, but then he shoved him into the end zone. So good on Shaq Mason. He had a very good game, I thought.
Let's see if the trend continues. Your number two, Greg?
Damian Harris. You know, he was the go-to guy on offense. I had him for seven impactful plays in this game, the one blemish being the fumble that, you know, was a stuffed run. But other than that, I thought he was great and ran really well.
He had the one fumble on the pitch there, and I'm not sure how much of that was on Mac Jones. And then he also maybe kind of almost fumbled at the goal line. Just can I just squeeze in here? What a joke the officiating crew was in this game, just in terms of the – listen, I agree with some of their calls in terms of the flags that they threw, but it just felt like no control. Like it was just a sloppy effort on their part. Back to Damian Harris. He was also my number two star. So let's just move on to number three. Bedard and I are just too much on the same page here. This feels like it's sort of a dud in of a sync. Three up.
Greg, number three.
Number three, Kyle Van Noy. He was the best guy on defense for me. And, you know, a lot of pressure on the quarterback. He played his usual very smart game. Can he start to spread that to the other guys in the front seven? Because we need a whole lot more Kyle Van Noy's in the front seven going forward if the Patriots are going anywhere this year.
What a letdown. I was hoping to fight with Bedard somewhere along the line. Here I got radio. Van Noy as my third guy.
Yes.
Seven pressures. It felt like he was the only one playing with a little bit of juice, coming downhill, being aggressive. He had some pressures that forced important incompletions. I did want to ask you, though, Greg, on the touchdown to Stephon Diggs, where everybody's killing J.C. Jackson, and I get it. He's there in coverage, and he's talking about being an island in coverage, you know, all on his own just a few days prior to that. Did you feel like Kyle Van Noy might have let down Jackson in some way on that play? Because to me, it looked like they were trying to double the two inside receivers on that play. One of them was McKenzie.
Was that the skinny post touchdown?
It was skinny post. And McCourty had his back completely turned to that side of the field, which tells me there was no safety there to help J.C. Jackson. And yet J.C. Jackson was playing to some kind of help. So was it Kyle Van Noy?
Yeah.
Did he just have the wrong leverage on that play? What happened there?
Yeah, I agree with you. I wondered the same sort of thing. I have not asked about that play. To me, I thought that play was, and sometimes you hear this from NFL defensive coaches. They'll say, well, the Patriots were too cool for school on that, where, you know, they're like, okay, we're going to show zero blitz. Then we're going to drop out of it and we're going to trick them. And I thought I thought it was a bad play call by the Patriots. I don't think McCourty could ever go where he wanted to. You're right. He did turn to, I think it was McKenzie.
It was.
That might have been a late adjustment by them where they're like, well, we need to shut down this guy. And yes, I did wonder if Van Noy was supposed to at least hit there. Another example of the Patriots not being physical enough. That's where you would like to see that. But then it looked like Van Noy was almost dropping into, all right, we're going to have two inside backers in coverage, in zone coverage. Somebody messed up. It was either Van Noy or Jackson thinking that he had help when he really didn't. But I know exactly what you're talking about. And it was, it was a questionable play all around.
That was far too pleasant, three up, where you all agreed
there?
That I don't like
mind-blowing.
It. Let's hope we draw some blood on the three downs. Greg, your number one dud from this game.
I'm going to go away from conventional wisdom here, and I'm going to go Matthew Judon just because. One pressure against the Bills in an AFC East title game is not good enough. That's not why they gave him $1 billion a year to come and play on this defense. And I don't care if it was what the game plan called for. This was a game where they needed their best to be their best, and they weren't. And that's why the Patriots got beat. And I'm sorry, one quarterback pressure is not good enough for Judon. So he's my number one down.
Judon was my number two down. Here, McCarthy, okay. But Greg's right. One play in a game like that against a god-awful offensive line.
Not good.
I mean, they were a disaster. Backups at tackle, backups at guard. They had an injury mid-game. They had a guy on COVID. Like, that offensive line was a disaster. And for your best pass rusher to have as quiet a game as he did, he got blocked one-on-one by Dawson Knox on one long, drawn-out dropback by Josh Allen, which I'm looking at him saying, how is this happening? There was an end around that was run to his side. He gave up nine. The flip to Stephon Diggs that went for a long gain at the end of the very end of the game before they scored and made it 33-21. Judon gets pancaked and he allows Allen to scramble to his left and make that flip to Diggs. I thought it was a bad game by him. He was my number two, though. I'm going J.C. Jackson as my number one. I thought he should have had both picks. He had hands on both of those. You need your best players to play well to beat good teams, and they didn't get it from either Jackson or Judon. Jackson's my number one.
So we've got Phil's number two. Why don't we get your number two down, Greg?
Mac Jones. Um, I, I'm not sure this was quite his worst game. I still personally think the Tennessee was his worst game, barely, but this was very close. I will say, though, I thought he started slow, and I thought in the middle, I thought he played really well. The last drive really hurt him. I thought he was terrible, really, on the last sort of desperation drive. There was some pressure against him, but there were throws to make. He missed some throws in this game. You have the two interceptions. Again, you're better players have to play good in these types of games. And Mac Jones may be a rookie, but he's a good player, and they need him to play well, and he didn't. And so he's my number two down.
He was my number three down. I thought the end of the game, like Greg, was just way too, I don't want to say lax, but he was just so off throughout the course of this game, but it really hurt them at the end of the game. I thought it hurt them after all of those flags, and I honestly wondered if he was seeing stars a little bit, because he got hit up high, led to a personal foul penalty on the Bills. And then you get the Trent Brown penalty that, you know, pushed them back and lost them points. But they said, you know, it's second and 18, and essentially the drive is over. But he had, I thought, two of his worst throws of the day on second and long and third and long right after he gets hit in the head. So, you know, I don't know if he's dealing with something physically. If he's just hitting the wall, the rookie wall, which Josh McDaniels said today he was not, but not a good game from him. I did think it was his worst game, just generally inaccurate throughout, and that has been his one saving grace really all year. He's been one of the most accurate quarterbacks in football. He was not on Sunday, so he was my third down.
We're missing an obvious down here. Greg, your last chance. Your number three down.
Miles Bryant. I mean, I hate to say it, because look, this defense is not designed for anybody to cover for 3 and 4, 5 seconds. And that's what they're asking guys to do. Miles Bryant wasn't being helped out by anybody, you know, touching McKenzie running across the field. You can't allow guys to go, when you're playing zone defense, to go from, you know, one zone to the other, or even man to man or too high, whatever. You can't let them go from one side of the field, look for the ball in the middle, then get it on the other side of the field. So I think, you know, a lot of it wasn't his fault, but, you know, yeah, he had a rough game.
And some of those throws were ridiculous throws, too. I just add that.
Yeah, a couple of them were.
I mean, yep. So you tip your cap to Josh Allen on a few of those, but he was just outside my top three.
Wait a minute. Did I just hear Greg Bedard praise Josh Allen? I think we should get to that next.
It was half-hearted, but I heard it, too. I heard it. It was half-hearted.
I think Greg Bedard owes Josh Allen an apology, which I know is that, like, we're breaking a Felger and Maz commandment, never give praise to another team, but I think we can break the rule here, given that Greg has beaten up on Josh Allen for so long.
I think Greg
owes Josh Allen an apology. We'll do that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is purely a take that exists in my head.
Getting into your head.
Tell you what's in our head.
With hot sports takes.
And we share it with you.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Allen points to his helmet with each hand, wearing the big white wristband on his left forearm. Takes the snap. He's back with a look to his left. He fires down the middle. Pass is caught by Diggs. Touchdown, Buffalo. A frozen rope. And a throw by Allen to Diggs. And the Bills expand their lead.
What a throw.
It was a great throw. It was a great game from Josh Allen. It's Felger and Maz, Matt McCarthy, Phil Perry in for the guys. It's a Big Boy Tuesday. Greg Bedard is here. Greg Bedard still hates Josh Allen. I think that we can take that away from this morning's email chain. Greg, I'm not putting words in your mouth. I'm just reading the words that you sent to us. Yes, Josh Allen made some plays. Only a few can. He has done this every week since his rookie year. Yes, he was the best player on the field, but the Patriots allowed him to be better than he was. He missed some easy plays, and if Jackson catches that interception, it's a typical Allen game, good but not great enough, and too many miscues in big spots. They didn't punt once. He was great. So I get the
fact,
sense.
Not opinion.
I get the sense, Greg, that you're trying to diminish Josh Allen again, and you know what? I'm not going to stand for it.
No. Why don't you ask me my opinion?
How about I ask you your opinion?
That was
instead of reading your own words, how about I ask you your opinion?
Yes. I mean, what I wrote is factual. J.C. Jackson catches that interception. It's the same Josh Allen game as every game, where he makes a couple of breathtaking plays, but he makes mistakes at critical times. If he was so good, he was great in this game. He was the best player on the field. He had a great day. You know, a lot of players do. Mac Jones has played great. You know, every quarterback has their day. What's his name? Davis Mills played great on Sunday. Players are going to have those type of games. The thing with Josh Allen is I want to see it consistently. Now, let me say this. First of all, my opinion on Josh Allen, just in case people don't know, because it gets distorted by people like Baseball Boy McCarthy and Felger, is that I said that I didn't think he was a good quarterback until last year when there were no fans in the stand. I stand by that. He was not a good quarterback until last year. I thought I still wasn't convinced that he needed to do it again. You know, with fans in the stands, I thought he crapped down his leg in the playoffs and was not good in the playoffs. And the Bills almost won despite him, and especially against Kansas City in the playoffs, he was not good. I wanted to see it again. And largely, I was right this season my thing is, he's good. At times, he's really good. I didn't think he was elite. He's an elite talent. Nobody's going to take that away from him. He's always been an elite talent. He could throw it further than anybody else. He can run. He's big. He can do things that a lot of people can't in this league. But that doesn't make you an elite quarterback if you're an elite talent. And largely, that opinion was correct until the second half against Tampa. I saw that, and I was like, he might have turned a corner. I mean, I thought he played great in that second half. Of course, he played terrible in the first half to get them down 24-0. But he played great in the second half, and I thought the Bills found something. Then against Carolina, he wasn't that great. Threw a really dumb interception. I didn't think he played well in that game. I'm like, well, maybe it wasn't a step forward. Then he has this game. Maybe he has taken that step forward. I don't know. The rest of the season will play out. But there's no question that he has improved. He improved greatly last year. He has improved over the course of this season. Can he finish it off and really be an elite quarterback, the type of guy who can win a game on his own in the biggest circumstances? It was that way on Sunday. To me, you know, on this show, a lot of times we come in after a Patriots win and say, did that game tell you more about the Patriots or the opponent? To me, Sunday's game was more about the Patriots and their terrible defense than it was Allen being great. But I could be wrong. We'll find out as the season plays out.
McCarthy, you know what I heard there? We got a lot of great, high-level, in-depth analysis there from Bedard. But what I heard was Josh Allen equals Davis Mills.
That's what I also took away from that.
I don't
that.
Know about anybody else.
That's the
that's
only
what
thing.
I heard. Yep. I heard those words. I don't know if Greg actually said them or if that's just how they bounced around in my brain once I heard Davis Mills. But Josh Allen equals long-necked David Mills. I actually agree with Greg Bedard on a lot of this. He's not an elite quarterback. If I was making tiers right now, he would be very good. He would not be elite. I would have probably Mahomes, Brady, Rodgers, and that's it right now in my elite tier.
I would
and
agree.
And Josh
with that.
Allen would be in the next category because he is a little bit of a roller coaster. This was probably the best game he's ever played, in my opinion, given the stakes, given the playoff circumstances that will result following just how thoroughly he dominated that game. I just don't know if it's the best day, Greg, to go about our Josh Allen isn't as good as you think he is crusade, because that was an unbelievable sequence of throws that he had. I had him. I know Bedard does his plus plays and minus plays. I had tip your cap plays for Josh Allen because there's just not that much you can do. I had 9 of those for Josh Allen in this game. Whether he's floating away from pressure and throwing off his back foot, whether he's making an accurate throw down the field between the numbers and the sideline with attacking a defender's leverage, the scrambling when the Patriots are in man-to-man. I think he was looking to run when he knew the Patriots were in man. He has turned into a patient, more patient, I should say. It's not consistent yet, but a more patient, smarter quarterback under Brian Daboll. You couple that with the amazing skill set that he has, and you get games like this one. Will he have it again next week or the week after? I don't know, and that's why he's not elite yet. But damn, he was good the other day.
I would say that was a couched apology from Greg Bedard. We'll try and get him to offer a full apology in the future. But I hand up. I generally stand with both of you. Hand up. Josh Allen kicked your ass on Sunday.
He was a
badass. He was outstanding in that game. You know who wasn't a badass? Mac Jones, your quarterback, wasn't good enough in this game. 90 seconds, no commercials. We'll get to that in a second. Greg Bedard alongside Phil Perry. It's a Big Boy Tuesday. Felger and Maz, McCarthy in for the guys.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.